Okay, I will call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 1:33 p.m. on Friday, April 4th, 2025. And present today, we've got Representative Hannon, Representative Co-Chair Josephson, and myself, Co-Chair Foster. I expect we'll probably have some more folks streaming in today. Before we start, if folks can please mute their cell phones. I do believe probably some folks may have left for community meetings that they have back home. I do see we have three people from this committee online, and they are Representative Delana Johnson, Representative Elise Galvin, as well as Representative Jeremy Bynum. If there are other folks from the committee online, please let me know. And let me just make a note of who we have on here. And so with that, again, if folks can mute their cell phones, I see we also have with us Representative Stapp and Representative Jimmy. And so we're going to be taking public testimony on House Bill 78. That is the Retirement Systems Defined Benefit Option. Just a reminder, folks can submit written testimony to house.finance@akleg.gov. We have a combination of folks who are both in the room. Looks like I have three people in the room. Four people in the room. And online, we have 16 people. So we have a total of 20 people. And so what I'm going to do is maybe we'll start with the three people here in the room, or the four people here in the room, and then we'll go to the folks who are the 17 people minus the three legislators. So actually there's 14 people online, so then we'll go to them. So with that, I would like to maybe, if folks can try to keep their testimony to 3 minutes, that way that'll give everyone an opportunity. I expect more people might be calling in. That will give everyone an opportunity to provide some testimony. I'd like to recognize that we have with us in the audience Representative Sadler. Thank you for joining us, Representative Sadler. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and take our first testifier here in the room. We have Danielle Redmond. Ms. Redmond, if you could please come to the... Oh, and I've also got with us Representative Tomaszewski. And let's see. Oh, and we've got Representative Kopp as well. Sponsor of the bill is with us as well. So thank you, Representative Kopp, for joining us. Ms. Redmond, thank you for being here. If you could please put yourself on the record, just state your name and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Danielle Redmond, and I'm here on my own behalf on my own time today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify today. This is an issue that I've been wanting to bring forward for a long time, actually. I previously served as a retirement and benefits counselor for the state, helping people to navigate the retirement process. These are benefits that I would remind everyone that people have worked for and paid into. I am generally supportive of the switch back to a pension plan, and I do think that it could help with retention. The question I want to highlight today is about medical benefits. Will the new tier include medical benefits in retirement? I have heard conflicting reports. A legislative liaison once told me that it would be the same as Tier 4, but I've also seen a legislator quoted in the media saying that there would be no medical benefits. Most of us don't think about that when we're healthy and in the full swing of our careers, but I can't tell you how many retirees told me that it was even more important to them than the money. I want to touch on two quick technical points regarding the healthcare, and that is cost and access. Regarding the cost, I know back in Tier 1, the healthcare costs were very high for the state. But by the time we got to Tier 3, the rules were much clearer. As of 2023, my understanding was that AlaskaCare was not only recognized nationally as stellar coverage, but that it was doing very well financially. I don't know what partnership opportunities with Medicare and Medicaid will look like going forward, but it was working very well. Tier 4 members also actually have to pay for their medical coverage in retirement based on their length of service. But at least it's an option. Regarding access, if we do stick to the Tier 4 rules, there is one small but very important change we need to make. Right now, Tier 4 members are required to retire directly from the system at Medicare age, which is currently 65, with at least 10 years of service. So they have to be actively employed in a PERS-eligible position for the 12 months before they turn 65. Many people who have 10 years of service and should otherwise be eligible lose access to coverage as a result of this rule. Most people don't even know about this rule. This is going to become a much bigger problem as Tier 4s enter retirement. I would strongly urge you to keep retiree health care benefits. You can get a 401k plan anywhere, but retiree medical was the key for many of the members that I talked to. As a Tier 4 member myself, I'm not sure what I would do if forced to choose between a pension plan or health care. I am available for questions if anybody would like to follow up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Redman. We do have a question. Representative Stout.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Through the chair, to Ms. Redman, appreciate your testimony. I think I did want to say that my understanding, current version of the bill, health care benefits are just an HRA, health reimbursement account, so there's no medical plan, although the employees would have kind of the similar benefit that they have in Tier 4 where they could use the health reimbursement account money to buy that on their own. Just to let
Can
you
they
know.
Buy in, respectfully through the chair, are they able to buy into the Alaska Care Plan?
Fault, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Stout.
Through the chair to Ms. Redman. Under the current structure of the bill, no.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. Also, I would add that the HRA plan also gets lost if people retire before that 65. And we currently have over $1 million in that fund that have yet to be allocated. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for being here with us today. I would also like to recognize we have with us Representative Co-Chair Shragi. The next person in the room that we have is Electra Garnier. If you could please put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation, and proceed with your three-minute testimony.
Thank you. My name is Electra Garnier. I am here in Juneau, from Juneau, and I teach here in Juneau. I just had a baby. That's why I'm not in the classroom right now. I'm a high school teacher at Yakuska Dakahiti High School, although I just had a baby, so I'm here with you all. It should come as no surprise that I am speaking in support of House Bill 78 to restore pensions for teachers. The story of how I got into education is exactly the story that I think you all want to hear. I was born and raised here, went to college in the lower 48, and paid for my education with Alaska State loans. I worked for the state and then for a nonprofit, working diligently to pay my loan back, and I did, paying an additional $20,000 in interest. Then I went on to the University of Alaska Southeast, where I got my master's in education. Again, paying tens and thousands of dollars back to this state in order to get an education and give back to my community. Now I've been in the classroom for 8 years. I strive to honor the culture and hometown of my students in my classroom every day. I teach government, English, psychology, and U.S. history. I host an after-school art club, and I give hundreds of volunteer hours to my school and community each year. Teaching is a tough job, and it's not getting any easier. I still owe thousands in student loans. I'm not eligible for Social Security, and I have a very measly 401k that I barely earn enough to contribute to. Up and down the West Coast, with my background and experience, I would be paid on average $20,000 more annually, and I would receive a pension. I love this state. I want to stay here. I want to teach here, and I want to retire here. This bill would allow me and many of my colleagues to do exactly that. I show up every day for my students at a very tough job. I know one of my former teachers, Ms. Hannon, knows that. And I'm asking Alaska to show up for educators as well in the same way that we do for our students. Thank you. And, of course, if you have questions.
Wow. Representative Stout.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just wanted to put on the record that kind of what I said earlier about the way you can use that HRA funds, maybe a little bit of dispute that with the bill sponsor. So I'm going to take back what I said in the affirmative and say maybe, but I'm sure we'll hear about that lady just to clear the record. Thank you.
Thank you
for your testimony.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just want to congratulate Ms. Electra. I did not know that you had had another baby, so thank you for sticking around, continuing to work in the classrooms, and raising another generation in Juneau.
Thank you so much.
Very cool to see. Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Josephson.
Can I ask Representative Stamp a question?
Hmm? Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Just to clarify, do you mean that we're unsure, and I genuinely, perhaps him myself, whether HRA funds can be used to pay premiums for X number of months through the Alaska CARES? Is that what you're saying?
Incentive step?
Yeah, thank you, Coach Jefferson. So you can use HRA money to buy basically any type of insurance, and you can use it for any type of medical expense. I think the clarification is going to be if Alaska Care, if you're a retiree, depending on how long you work, if you're going to consider that as like a COBRA payment to pay the full price, or if you can use that funds on something else, or if the retiree will have access through the entire plan up until the Medicare retiree age. I'm not sure. My reading of the bill is a little bit different than the bill sponsor, but I think we'll probably get into that, I'm sure, the next time he talks about it. So,
thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have Randy Sutak here in the room. If you can put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation.
As you noted, my name is Randy Sutak. I live here in Juneau. I'm here for myself, though I do work for the state, DOT, and I'm a member of the GGU, which is one of our bargaining units. Good afternoon, folks. I don't always look at things the same way other people do. At heart, I'm an economist. I'm just a smidget short of a few hours of my degree, but that doesn't stop the thought process. Obviously, there's an issue with the retirement system as it stands, or this hearing wouldn't be taking place. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to get something to this stage of the game. The question I have for you is, have you already made up your mind? And I hope not, because you need to stay pliable enough to listen to the evidence, to see the information, the numbers, crunch the numbers, and see what it will cost the state to enact such a retirement system. And at the same time, you have to look at the cost to the system, to the state, to the communities, if we don't implement such a system. As you know, we have a shortfall for hiring for this state. Wages are always going to be an issue. I think they were the first time there was a collective bargaining unit. The first time my grandfather told me when he was in a coal mine and he was involved in a strike, it was for wages. So that doesn't come as a shock or surprise to anyone. But how we take care of our people is definitely a choice. I was with a contractor who will remain nameless because I didn't ask to be able to use the name. But we were going on driving down a road, and he pointed somebody out to me that had worked for him for many, many years. The individual got paid the prevailing wage rate, but he wasn't in a system that pretty much forced him into a retirement system. He couldn't afford to retire. His body is on its last legs. Whereas if he'd been in a defined plan and almost forced to mind his P's and Q's, as it were, it may not be the same place. For those people, there's also a cost to the state, to the community, for all the different services that, if they can't provide for themselves, they still need, and we are going to provide them. So much like a business, you're defining your focus is on how much can we afford to spend, how much can we afford to invest. I'm suggesting that the more we can invest on the front side, the less we have to invest on the back side. A business that gets started up, if only they'd had another $250,000, they would have been able to save millions in the following years. So I look at it differently than some do, but that's my take. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Sutak. I don't see any questions of the committee, and so appreciate your testimony. Next up, the last person that we have here in the room, and then we'll go to online. We do have now 25 people online. So the last person here in the room, Jesse Sloan, if you could put yourself on the record, state your name, your affiliation, and proceed with your three-minute testimony.
Good afternoon. For the record, My name is Jesse Sloan, co-chair, member of the committees. I serve as the president of Local 4900, the state supervisors union, representing over 2,000 state workers here in Alaska. I'm also a data analyst for the Department of Corrections, and I'm here today to speak in strong support of House Bill 78. When I talk to my fellow supervisors, those who have one of the defined benefit plans, they are so thankful that they have it. And for those that don't, they wonder how much longer they can justify dedicating themselves to a state that doesn't seem to be reciprocating. My father-in-law retired under the Tier 1 system back when Alaska offered one. He spent his career serving the public, and now he and my mother-in-law live securely. They aren't wealthy, but they have what so many in my generation fear that they won't, a dignified, stable retirement. That security didn't come from luck. It came from a retirement system that honored long-term public service. And now I look at my son, who works for IT for the state, and he's just finishing up his IT degree. He's smart, dedicated, and wants to stay in Alaska, but he's wondering if he can continue to stay in public service and still have a hope of retirement. Right now, we're asking young Alaskans to serve without giving them the promise that we once gave, a fair and secure future. Some say young people don't want pensions, but when I've repeated that line to recent graduates, they've literally laughed in my face. One asked me, why would I want to work for the rest of my life and not retire? That desire for security, that belief that hard work should be honored, it isn't outdated. It's a value we share as Alaskans. I think as Alaskans, we believe in taking care of our own. We believe that if you dedicate your life to serving your community, to teaching our kids, protecting public safety, and managing critical infrastructure, you shouldn't have to fear poverty in old age. It's not just a financial principle, it's a moral one. And as an analyst, I can say the numbers bear this out. As the previous testifier said, the high turnover, endless recruitment cycles, and burnout, they're costing us more than a stable retirement plan ever would. A defined benefit system is a smart investment in our workforce, our institutions, and our shared future. HB 78 gives us a chance to return to our values, fairness, responsibility, and honoring service. I urge you to support this bill. Thank you for your time. And, of course, I will take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sloan. I don't see any questions of the committee, so appreciate
it. Co-chair?
Yes, co-chair we've got Foster. Somebody online, Representative Bynum.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair Foster, and through the chair, thank you for your testimony. Are you today testifying that you want to see a robust retirement system in place and with the expectation that we are going to be going to back to a defined benefit that is something similar to PERS 1, 2, or 3? Or are you just wanting to see any kind of a defined benefit program? And then and in addition to that, would you be willing to say that you would like to see a program, if it was even if it was a defined contribution program, that provided a very substantial retirement in the future? Would that be something you'd support?
Mr. Sloan?
Through the chair, Representative Bynum, I think as a data analyst, that's a lot of unknowns to try to answer to without seeing a lot of details. I can say that I trust the work that's been done in this particular bill to try to come up with a solution that shares some of the risk between the state and the employees and works hard to try to find something that'll work well for Alaska. But I'd have to see the details of anything else to really come up with an answer.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Thank you for coming and testifying. You said you were the president of Local 4900 and about 2,000 members. Is that what you said? Are any of those members private sector? Is it strictly public sector? Or how does your union balance out?
Through Co-Chair, Representative Tomaszewski, am I pronouncing that right?
No, that's fine. Okay. There's many different pronunciations.
Okay. Sorry. Just state supervisors.
State supervisors.
So where like GGU is the majority, well, is the largest state state employee union, and then SU is all of those that are in a supervisory capacity.
So follow up.
Follow up.
So there's no private sector.
No.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Mr. Sloan, you're aware that the defined benefit pension system in this bill, as described, is a shared risk, and it is not the previous Tier 1, 2, or 3 defined benefit system.
Mr. Sloan?
Through the co-chair, yes, Representative Hannon.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so very much for your testimony. So I don't see anybody else in the room who would like to testify, so we're going to move on to the phone callers, and what I'm planning to do is maybe just list out periodically the folks who are in line to testify. So for example, right now I'll list out the first five people, and every once in a while I'll mention who's up next or the next three people or the next five people, just to give folks a little bit of a heads up as to when their time, their slot is coming up here. So the first five that I'm showing here are Jan Carolyn Hardy, second, Robert Whipple, third, Emily Moody, fourth, Judy Gonzalez, and fifth, Ricky Lebman. So with that, first we'll go to Jan Carolyn Hardy, calling in from Anchorage. If you can state your name, your affiliation, and proceed with your three-minute testimony.
Thank you very much. This is Jan Carolyn Hardy. I'm Alaska AFSCME retiree chapter president and live in Anchorage. I'm speaking in favor of SB 28 and House Bill 78. Just yesterday, our teachers and our state of Alaska public servants, our police, our firefighters lost thousands of dollars in their 403B retirement accounts. The stock market took a deep dive. Unfortunately, the defined benefit contribution is based entirely on the vagaries of stock market. The expectation that these servants of the people should continue to work in Alaska without a reliable defined benefit retirement is ludicrous. Alaska is the only state in the entire United States without a defined benefit retirement in place. No wonder our population is shrinking. We're losing our teachers, our police, our firefighters, and our public servants. When I first came to Alaska as a high school vocational counselor, the competition was fierce. Everyone wanted to work here, not just for the adventure, but for the great contracts our union negotiated for us. We were committed to remaining in Alaska to become part of this exciting experiment called the Last Frontier. So how do we, considering the abdication of this current federal regime, for the support and continuation of policies in effect since the FDR administration, paid into by the very people it supports, how do we allow our faithful public servants to lose all security in their retirement? Not only is this federal regime trying to dismantle Social Security, but Alaska is failing to secure the future by its failure to give our hardworking, dedicated public servants a defined benefit retirement. A double whammy, if you will. This is unconscionable and just plain wrong. The public service unions, AFSCME, NEA, and AFT, have supplied research to demonstrate the financial implications of relying on a defined contribution plan, also known as the stock market. I will argue that the actions of the federal regime will destroy any retiree's hope of making the current defined contribution plan last until they retire, much less through retirement. We cannot in all good conscience allow this to happen. Alaska owes those who have served. I would suggest that you, as human beings, put yourself in the shoes of our great Alaska public servants. Would you remain in Alaska to build your career of service or choose to take your 403B and invest it in a state offering defined benefits? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hardy. I don't see any questions of the committee. So next we'll move over to Mr. Robert Whipple, calling in from Emonic. If you can state your name or your affiliation.
Okay. For the record, my name is Dr. Robert Whipple, and I'm a member of NEA Alaska from Emonic. Thank you so much for allowing me to testify to this House Finance Committee. I am a special education teacher and a nationally certified school psychologist with 14 years of experience in Alaska. I am here today in support of House Bill 78. I am fortunate to have served 14 years in the California teacher retirement system, which provides me a marginal defined benefit plan. My wife is an Alaska teacher with no pension and no Social Security. If HB 78 does not pass, we will be forced to leave Alaska next year, take our tariff-diminished Alaska defined contribution retirement, and return to California to add more years to a defined benefit plan. The reality is that the Alaska defined contribution system is not sustainable for educators. Recent market volatility caused by the Trump administration's tariffs have significantly impacted my retirement savings, leaving me with less than 2 years of my Alaska salary in retirement funds. This lack of retirement security drives educators like me and my wife out of the state, contributing to the high turnover rates. In my 14 years here, I've seen how turnover disrupts schools and negatively impacts students. When experienced teachers leave, students lose the stability and expertise they need to thrive. Passing HB 78 will help retain dedicated educators, improve student outcomes, and strengthen our schools. Thank you for your time and attention to this critical issue. I urge you to support HB 78 to ensure a brighter future for Alaska's educators and students.
Thank you very much, Mr. Whipple. Seeing no questions, next we'll move over to Emily Moody. If you can put yourself on the record, I see you're calling in from Cordova.
Hi, my name is Emily Moody. I'm calling again from my classroom in Cordova to speak in support of House Bill 78 to fix Alaska's broken retirement system for Alaska public employees. I've been teaching for the state for 14 years, so I am Tier 3. I'm in favor of HB 78 for two reasons: to retain good teachers currently in the field and attract new talent to the state. I want to tell you what it's been like to be a Tier 3 teacher for the last 6 months. Starting in late October, the state quit depositing money in my retirement account. Payments didn't resume until last month. Yesterday, the stock market had the largest drop since the COVID pandemic. None of this is good for teachers whose entire financial future rests on a meager 401k, which is all the state can offer us. This is a financial reality that divides my attention and takes me away from my students literally in front of me right now. This is a system that the state of Alaska has created, and it's disgraceful. We do the hardest work with the most vulnerable populations in a state with one of the highest cost of living, with low financial rewards compared to the private sector, and we have no guarantee of being able to retire with dignity. As it stands right now, 70% of Tier 3 teachers after 30 years of service could outlive their retirement savings. Why would anyone agree to do this job in the state now? The answer is increasingly that they won't. Alaska has the worst teacher turnover rates in the country. This turnover costs the state millions of dollars in training of new teachers and, more importantly, hurts student achievement. The data is crystal clear on how teacher turnover harms student outcomes. It takes an amazing amount of time, dedication, and training to be successful in this field. I cannot stress enough how important it is for the state of Alaska to retain teachers that we spend so much time and money training. For teachers like me who have found themselves in a community they love, doing a job that is meaningful and fulfilling, this legislation means that I no longer have to consider whether or not I need to uproot my family and move to a state that has a teacher pension, or more likely, find any other less demanding job that has a comparable salary and benefit package. I'm so tired of worrying about my financial future. I just want to know that my hard work is going to pay off and that someday I will be able to retire. I cannot overstate what a large concern this is for me. Nobody is arguing that returning to a divine benefit is going to be free. Of course, there's going to be cost. I want to encourage this body to think about what the cost of doing nothing. How many teachers is the state going to train only to have them leave for another state? You're going to get to a point soon where all of the Tier 1 and all of the Tier 2 teachers have retired, and all you will have is a revolving door of Tier 3 teachers. You will have lost all of your institutional knowledge. Here in Cordova, we have three Tier 1 teachers who have come out of retirement to fill teaching positions that the district could not recruit for. This era is ending, and there is no way that Tier 3 teachers will be able to do the same thing, because we will likely be working another job or leaving the state to stretch our meager retirement. How can you honestly say that we don't have enough money to keep teachers in the profession when almost every other state in the union is able to do so? Some things are worth paying for. Thank you so much for your time and attention today. I urge you to complete your review and pass HB 78 so I and other educators can focus on what is important. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Moody. And I don't see any questions. Next up, we have Judy Gonzalez. I'm not sure if the last name is spelled correctly on my list here, so if you can maybe spell your last name. And it looks like you're calling in from Homer. If you can state your name, your affiliation.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. My name is Judy Gonzalez. Last name is spelled G-O-N-S as in Sam, A-L-V as in Victor, E-S as in Sam.
Thank you.
It's Portuguese. For the record, I'm calling from Homer, and I'm representing myself, but maybe I'm also indirectly representing all of the educators in the state of Alaska. And I'm calling to support House Bill 78, which is addressing retirement security for educators. So I am a retired educator. I have over 30 years in the state, both in regular ed and special ed. And I was fortunate to land here in the state with Tier 1. So I am a direct beneficiary of a robust pension program that has long since gone away, as you all know. I have a daughter who lives in the state of Alaska, and she just recently went through a career change and went back to school, entered the MAT program out of UA Southeast there. And she's in her first year of teaching out in the bush, and she's working hard, learning the ropes. And I did not initially encourage her to go into the field of education because, you know, when I finished my career and I was here and committed and I looked around, I just was not impressed with what I was seeing from the state and how the state of Alaska was not prioritizing, you know, all facets of education. So I was pretty discouraged by that. But she wanted to give it a try, so she's out there working, and I'm just, you know, on behalf of her and all the other newer teachers and established teachers who struggle with their financial planning, like the previous teacher just testified from Cordova, I'm just urging you to, you know, give our educators something that they can rely on and to plan for, so they can stay here in the state. And I want to thank this committee for your time and effort, and I hope it remains a priority. And I just, you know, if I may, I know you've got your timelines and your schedules, but if you were to have another hearing, I would encourage you to hold it after the school bell rings so that you can hear from more teachers than you might already. I'm impressed that a couple of teachers have already called in, but you might hear from a lot more once they can call. Without having students in the room. So I'll end my testimony here. Thanks again for your time. I hope you do the right thing.
And thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Ricky Lebman calling in from Anchorage. If you can state your name and your affiliation, proceed with your testimony.
Hi. Thank you for taking my testimony. This is Ricky Lebman. I'm calling from Anchorage, and I am speaking for myself on my testimony today. Both my husband and I support House Bill 78. We are both State of Alaska retirees. I came to Alaska as a representative for Coca-Cola USA. I was a quality assurance representative doing inspections in four states. My husband came from Wisconsin. He attended UAF and their wildlife biology program, and then went on to UAJ for a master's in fisheries. We're professionals. We came and worked here. We met, married, and stayed here because we obtained and sought positions with the state of Alaska and doing public sector work. It's been 50 years, and we're still here because we can afford to retire here. Today, for young people, Alaska public sector positions are not as attractive. There's more job insecurity. There's sometimes less pay. There's no defined benefit, and there's questionable medical benefits. To attract people to our state and retain current public state sector employees, I think we need to pass House Bill 78, and I am asking for your support to do so. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lebman. I don't see any questions. That was the first five of the 25 folks that we have online, so I'm going to name the next five. The first is Jake Metcalf, and then second, Jess Pervier Brown, third, Shane Hand, fourth, Ryan Frost, and fifth is Patrick Mesmer. So first, let's go to Mr. Jake Metcalf, calling in from Anchorage. If you can state your name and your affiliation, proceed with your three-minute testimony.
Thank you, Representative Foster and members of House Finance. My name is Jake Metcalf. I'm in Anchorage. I'm retired from my unions in the state of Alaska. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and everybody that comes after me. I retired a couple of years ago from the Alaska State Employees Association as their executive director. Prior to that, I was executive director for the Public Safety Employees Association. And prior to that, I was general counsel for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, 1547, all of those in Alaska. I'm also a former member and president of the Anchorage School Board and a district attorney in the Bethel and Whitehall region. So I'm a Tier 1 retiree. I'm lucky to have timely gotten into that system. I'm in support of House Bill 78 for three reasons. One is retention and recruitment. Two is retirement security. And three is the economic benefit to the state of Alaska. Just to give you a little background, I was on the school board when they ended the defined benefit retirement. I testified against that then. There were numerous people who said it would cause recruitment retention problems in the education field. Later, I found out how bad it was for recruitment and retention in the public safety field and also in the general government field of state employment. And so for 20 years, I've been advocating to go back to a defined benefit retirement program. I can't tell you how badly it hurts retention and recruitment when every other state in the union has defined benefit retirement and we don't. One of the economic benefits to the state of Alaska is that when people get into a defined benefit retirement system, invest, they stay. That doesn't happen here. And what we see is people take their defined contribution, which includes their contribution as well as the state of Alaska's contribution, and they leave and go somewhere with a defined benefit retirement. To me, that makes no sense. And the way you cure that problem is you go back to a defined benefit retirement. That way you don't have police officers and teachers leaving the system. With police officers, I know, at least when I was at PSDA, which is now probably 8 or 9 years ago, it costs about $250,000 to $300,000 to train up a police officer. And that's usually the first 5 years. After 5 years, they can leave the defined contribution plan and take their money and our money with them and go to a retirement system. It just didn't make any sense to me why we as a state employer would approve of that. I also, you know, I know as a defined as a defined benefit retiree, that I have security of a check coming in every month. You know, today the market dropped 2,200 points. If you are a defined contribution retiree and that happened today and you were planning to retire, I would bet good money that you're going to stay working. And that, you know, to me, that just isn't right. When you are ready to retire, you're ready to retire, and you should be able to retire with dignity. You can't do that with a defined contribution retirement, and it's just not right. So I hope you will all look at the system and support HB 78. It's the right thing to do for people. It's the right thing to do for the state of Alaska. I appreciate your time today, and I hope you pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Metcalf. And we do have another person who's in the room who would like to testify, so I'm going to go over to that person. It looks like it's Carol Bookless. If you could please come up and put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation, and proceed with your three-minute testimony. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to House Finance.
Hi, my name's Carol Bookless. I live in Douglas, Alaska, and I'm representing myself. I'm a teacher, and I just had a hip replacement, so I know this looks kind of pitiful, but it's temporary. I should have retired by now. I'm going to be 69 years old this year, but I'm hanging in there because I'm hoping that I might be able to get into a defined benefit plan if something happens. Although in my recent talks with retirement, they said good luck on that because with the recent top-up they did for some people who got kicked out of the system or something, the buy-in was so expensive that most people could not buy in. So the chances of me actually being able to get into this system that you're working with right now are probably pretty slim. But I do have a son. He's doing the MAT program now here in Juneau. And my advice to him is go somewhere else. Go to some place where you have high wages and you have a defined benefit plan. He's a great teacher from all accounts. Everyone says he's just a natural. And he's my son, so I'm very proud of him. But I don't want him to go through what I've had to go through, and that's working way past when you shouldn't be. I had to have my hip replaced, and actually I'm getting the other one in a few months. And it's painful. It's painful to keep working, but I don't really have a choice. When I retire, now that we have the WEP back again, I'm hoping to maybe have $24,000 a year to live on. That's not a lot, but I can live cheap and try to make it by. But the defined contribution system, it's just horrible. I guess that's all I need to say is I hope that I don't know a lot about this new plan. I looked for information online. Hopefully it'll be better. But that's all I can say is we need something. We need something to retain. I'd like my son to be able to stay in Alaska. He's a good teacher. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so very much for your testimony. We do have a question. Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Foster, through the chair. Thank you, ma'am, for your testimony and making your way down here. I know that must have been difficult. I do have a question. You'd mentioned that you talked to the ARM board. And I assume you're referencing what's called a discount rate, where you look to try to buy into the defined benefit plan. And they said that you wouldn't have much of a chance. Did they give any details on that, if you could remember?
I guess there was Recently, there were people who had been in Tier 1, and then they got out of it, and then now they were trying to get back into Tier 1, and I guess there was a top-up amount that they had to add, and it was substantial. And so this person's opinion was that if we did go back to a defined benefit plan, those people who are now, and I think it's over 50% of the teachers right now are in that Tier 3, Tiers 3, whatever, that the buy-in or whatever top-up would be substantial. So, yeah, that makes me worried. But, you know, we can always hope. Teachers are always optimistic.
And just a quick follow-up,
Mr. Representative Stepp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through Chair. Were you by chance a former Tier 1 or Tier 2?
No, tiers? No. Okay. This is a second career for me. Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just want to give a shout-out to my former co-worker, worked with Ms. Booklis at Juno Douglas High School for many years, and I wish you a speedy recovery on your hip replacement. I had mine 15 years ago, and you'll be dancing soon.
Thank you very much, Ms. Booklis, for your testimony. Thank you for coming here. Okay, next up we have Jess Prevere-Brown calling in from Anchorage. If you can put yourself on the record, state your name, your affiliation, proceed with your three-minute testimony.
Sure thing. Hi, so my name is Jess Prevere-Brown, kind of like the water Perrier, but not quite. I am calling from Anchorage. I am calling on behalf of myself as a proud member, Local 52, here in Anchorage. I personally did not write into this, so I will not be as eloquent as some people who have come before me. I work specifically for the Division of Public Assistance here in Anchorage, and I've been here since COVID. I'm still in my 30s. I haven't even gotten to my 5 year yet. And I was calling today to give you some perspective of what working for the state is like, specifically working for the state when I am working with the most vulnerable populations. So I've been working with public assistance, like I said, during COVID. I worked as an eligibility technician for 2 years, and now for the last 2 years, I have been working as a trainer here, teaching other people how to determine eligibility. So I have a sort of unique view on what Alaskan citizens are going through financially and in terms of what it is that they need, and I can see where the trends are going. The VA also has a real retention problem right now. As of, I think, either last week or earlier this week, because it's only important, our April org chart came out, of which there are currently 129 instances of the word vacant, which some of that is supervisors being listed twice, but not 129 positions worth. We are also for eligibility technicians, like I said, the people who look at and determine whether or not someone is eligible for food stamps or for Medicaid or for senior benefits. We are having a real retention problem to the point where we are now offering a $2,500 sign-on bonus, and we're still not getting people. As the trainer who is working with all of these new recruits, and I have them for the first 12 weeks that they're here with DPA, I can tell you that when they don't realize I'm listening, they are talking about pensions. They're talking about income and the fact that they're not sticking around for it, that it's just not good enough. I know Mr. Sloan before me talked about how young people don't want a pension, and that when he had mentioned that, he got laughed in the face. Absolutely. I personally, my background before I joined DPA, I was in the arts, a very fiscally unsteady, unstable position to be in. When I told my friends and acquaintances that I was working for the state and that I was hoping to work for a pension, all of them were ecstatic for me until I talked to someone who knew that I was a Peers 4 and knew what it meant to work for the state. And when I told them I was so excited for a pension, they went, "Oh, the crappy one. Ah, that sucks, man. I'm sorry." Which got me looking into it and understanding more about what Peers 4 is and talking to the people who have been here longer. And the advice that I was given, legitimately given by multiple by multiple higher-ups in leadership was you work for the state for 10 years, then you leave. And then if you can, you come back and work for the state for a little bit longer right before you retire. That is just not worth it to stick around. I have heard my trainers, or my learners, excuse me, I've heard my learners while I am training talk about the fact that if the pension doesn't get better, they're going to leave, that it's just not worth it. And I have had the unique opportunity to be able to determine eligibility and benefits for our senior population with our senior benefits program. And quite frankly, the amount of Alaskans who used to do the same job I do, who now qualify for benefits because they are so impoverished, is shameful.
Ms. Privia-Brown, if you could please wrap up.
Yes. Say that one more time. Oh, wrap up? Absolutely. So I'm here in support of HB 78, even though it probably won't benefit me in the long run, because we desperately need it. We're hemorrhaging people. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so very much for your testimony. I don't see any questions, so we're going to move over. The next three people we have are Shane Hand, and then second is Ryan Frost, and then third is Patrick Mesmer. So first we'll go to Shane Hand. If you can state your name, your affiliation. I see you're calling in from Seward.
Yes, thank you for receiving my call today. My name is Shane Hand. I'm representing the Seward Public Employees Association, Local 6585. And as I've been listening to all the other brothers and sisters of public servanthood, I hesitate to say I'm going to be echoing a lot of their very, very poignant points and comments. I can't help but listen to all this and just think of where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's very much a very consistent, sentiments being relayed to the committee of today. And what I've heard as far as some of the common similar words, sentiments is, you hear a lot of dignity, security, and then mentions of what is the next generation of public servants. And it's very true. We have a problem with retention, recruitment, housing costs, not necessarily this committee's responsibility or anything. But, it's all choices that we make. And to a certain extent, sometimes sacrifices. We make the choice to live in Alaska, live, work, spend our money in Alaska. And a lot of times that comes out at a more extensive cost than it would be in any other public sector or any other part of the country. I believe that, there is also a loss of institutional knowledge. We talk about, whether it's systems of, working a tier four system like the previous caller talked about, working for 10 years, going away and then coming back towards the end, compared to someone who is, getting ready to walk out of a public servant position and a tier two, tier three position. And they're leaving or they're handing down what would be some of those people's 20, 25 year plus commitment and knowledge of whatever sector that they work in. And I know for a fact when you talk about retaining and recruitment and you have a revolving door, that institutional knowledge of how the system works, what community you're working in, and overall networking is lost. And people who have worked around people with that type of knowledge realize how important, how valuable that sense of knowledge is. And if we don't make it a point to, motivate people to remain in communities, be dedicated to their work and the communities that they serve. If we don't make it worth their while, if we don't make it a conscious, good choice for those people, then we're going to constantly have this cost of training and recruitment and retention. So I think, I think it's everyone here is dedicated to the public in which we serve. And I think the Alaska State can show, show back to us the dedication that they have that we would like to have, that we show towards our community members. And I appreciate you guys' consideration on this. And I would just like to go on record that we at the Seward Public Employees Association are in strong support of the defined benefit House Bill 78. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hand. I don't see any questions. So next up, we'll go to Mr. Ryan Frost. Looks like you're calling in from Snoqualmie, if you can put yourself on the record.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chairs Foster, Joseph Sinotragi. My name is Ryan Frost, and I'm Managing Director of the Pension Integrity Project at Reason Foundation. Our team conducts quantitative public pension research nationally, and we offer pro bono technical assistance to stakeholders aiming to improve pension resiliency and advance retirement security for all public servants. Hospital 78's stated goal is to improve recruitment and retention, but it's important to evaluate whether this change addresses the workforce challenges you face and whether it does so in a way that's fiscally responsible and sustainable. Based on our actuarial modeling, it shows that under our best-case scenario, this bill would cost around an additional $2.1 billion over the next 30 years. Under a more realistic scenario, if investment returns over the next 30 years resemble those that Alaska's experienced over the past 23 years, that cost jumps up to around $11 billion. And the outcome of this legislation is really directly tied to the investment assumptions. The bill's costs are based on an assumed rate of return of 7.25%, which places it among the top five highest assumptions in the nation. Yet Alaska's pension funds have only earned 5.8% annually on average since 2001. And that disconnect is really important. If Alaska adopted a more realistic rate for their pension systems, say in the mid-sixes, which aligns, as you heard yesterday, probably with more current actuarial best practices, your current unfunded liabilities alone would increase by about $2 billion. And so getting these assumptions right is really critical. Otherwise, you risk creating a benefit structure that appears affordable on paper, but it proves unsustainable in practice. Now, the advocates in this bill often cite that employee turnover is the big rationale for moving back to a DB system. However, the data doesn't support the idea that Alaska is an outlier in this area compared to the rest of the country, or that a DB plan would solve the problem. According to our analysis of the workforce data, Alaska actually retains public workers better than most states. From 2012 to 2023, Alaska had the 11th lowest state employee turnover rate in the country, despite operating under a DC system. During this period, Alaska's average annual turnover rate was 13.6%, well below the national average of 18.7%. There's also no clear evidence that states with DB plans perform better on recruitment and retention. Oklahoma transitioned to a DC plan in 2011, and they have not seen a dramatic rise in public employee turnover. In fact, they now have the second lowest turnover rate among neighboring states, most of which all still offer traditional pensions. And so if recruitment and retention are unlikely to change from House Bill 78, who does the bill actually benefit? Because for most new employees in Alaska, this bill won't actually improve their retirement outcomes. Based on our modeling of your benefit structure, more than 90% of new hires would receive lower retirement benefits under the proposed DB plan. And that's because most employees simply don't stay long enough to benefit from the backward DB formula. According to the current pension system's own assumptions, half of public safety workers and 70% of teachers leave within 10 years. So for these employees, the current DC plan would provide much better retirement value and portability, yet this bill completely eliminates that option. But the real gap from our perspective in Alaska's retirement security isn't so much in the pension structure, it's in coverage under the SBS plan. Alaska's public employees don't participate in Social Security, so SBS was designed as a replacement, providing a second layer of retirement income funded equally by the employer and the employee with the same contributions that otherwise would have gone to Social Security. Because SBS acts as a true retirement account, it provides substantially better benefits than was given to participants of Social Security. However, teachers, as you know, are not covered by SBS, leaving them with no Social Security and no SBS, and this is a very significant shortfall. Our modeling shows that for a full-career teacher, SBS provided an additional $60,000 per year in retirement, and that's 73% greater than what Social Security does would be for the same worker. So expanding SBS coverage would really do more to enhance retirement security than shifting back to the DB system that only helps a small segment of longer tenured workers. I hear the bell. I'll summarize here quickly. So in summary, Alaska, from the data, is not facing a unique retention crisis, nor is it lagging behind other states. Your turnover rates are better than average, and your DC plan, when combined with SBS, is delivering retirement benefits more generous than most other states in the lower 48. Thanks for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Frost, for calling in. I think we've got a question, Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Foster, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Foss. We've had a lot of folks testify about the recent, let's call it, rapid market downturn. And there seems to be some disassociation of that in the pension plan, even though all the money's also invested. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on what poor returns due to unfunded liabilities on defined benefit plans.
Mr. Frost?
To the chair, thank you, Rep. Sapp, for the question. Yeah, the markets, you know, they worked on both sides, the defined benefit and defined contribution, whereas the defined contribution member might see a small downturn in their overall balance. The defined benefit systems feel it just as much as they do, except it gets put on the state to make up the shortfall instead.
Okay. Do we have any further questions?
Yes,
we've got a question online. It sounds like Representative Bynum, and then we'll go to Representative Hannon. Representative Bynum?
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. This is Representative Bynum. My question was for the last caller that just called in. It sounded like there's a lot of information and data from a report or study that has been done. Would they be willing to send that study and or report to the committee so that we can actually have a better look at the information that they were trying to provide?
Mr. Frost?
To the chair, Representative Biden, absolutely, I'd be happy to send that to the committee.
Great, thank you. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Similar to Mr. Bynum, I'm interested in the research you did, Mr. Frost, but I am curious who paid for your foundation to evaluate Alaska's defined contribution system?
Mr. Frost?
To the chair, thanks for the question, Rapan. We are funded by donors from all across the country, most of them small donors, and it's up to our team to really decide where we feel like the spending the money on actuarial modeling would be of the most use. And Alaska was one that we decided to be interested in based on asks from people here in the state over the last couple sessions and in this session as well.
Follow up? Could you tell me what it costs for your research to be done in Alaska? We get told repeatedly the actuarials that we contract with are quite expensive. So I assume if you have a team of actuarials and economists that this was a fairly expensive endeavor to undertake, and Alaska's a fairly small segment of the pension systems in the country, so I am curious what it costs and to do that analysis.
Mr. Frost?
Through the chair, Rep. Hand, yes, it is an expensive endeavor, definitely. I don't think I have an exact dollar figure of what our model costs to build or what it's cost, you know, in aggregate over the last few sessions plus staff time. But if that's something of interest, I'd be happy to put a spreadsheet together and get that to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we're going to get the report, I want to know who paid for it. So, yeah, I'd like to know what the costs were to produce it. No one produces anything for free. And so free advice to us isn't free unless I know we paid for it. I'm fully aware that when we're asking for actuarial reports that we're paying for, that we're paying for it. So, thank you.
Thank you. And for Mr. Frost, as well as anyone who would like to submit written testimony, they can do so by sending an email to us at house.finance@akleg.gov. Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair. Mr. Foss, you rambled through, or not rambled, but very quickly went through the turnover rates. Can you just repeat those again? You said, how does Alaska fare with retention and turnover rates?
Through the chair, thank you, Rep. Tomaszewski. Yes, so the current Alaska public employee turnover rate for 2023 is around 15%. The U.S. average state and local is around 18.1%, and that's just for public employees. For teachers, it's broken up a little bit differently. We can break it up by Alaska, all of Alaska teachers, all of Alaska principals, and then we can also break it down just by the bigger cities like Anchorage. So for Alaska's teachers, their overall turnover rate is around just north of 20%. The U.S. public education average is around 18%. But if you look at just Anchorage's and the bigger cities in Alaska, Anchorage specifically, their 2023 turnover rate for their teachers was around 16.4%, so about a percentage and a half points lower than the national average.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Representative Josephson.
Through the co-chair, Mr. Frost, In April of 2023, and I think you've written, the Reason Foundation has written this before, your company, I guess, concluded that some employees would be better off in Alaska under a defined benefit pension plan. Can you remind us which ones you think would be in a better position with a defined benefit pension plan?
Mr. Frost?
Through the chair. Yes, sir, Chair Justin. Let me pull up the modeling dashboard here. So for a teacher, if they work 29 or more years as a teacher in Alaska, they would be better off in a defined benefit plan. But better off meaning that the value of the defined benefit plan would be more than the value of the defined contribution plan. For general or other public employees, anybody who works more than 25 years would be better off in a defined benefit plan than a defined contribution plan. As for police and fire, that drops down to around the 23-year mark. So if you work 23 or more years as a police or fireman, the defined benefit plan would be more generous than the defined contribution plan. And that really just comes down to the fact that public safety works shorter careers, and so defined benefits tend to benefit them a little bit more than defined contribution does.
Thank you.
For a full career.
Okay. Do we have any further questions?
So, Chair Foster?
Yes.
So, Chair Foster.
And
Representative Bynum.
Representative Bynum, go ahead.
Thank you. And through the chair, the question that was just asked as far as better off in a DB plan, is that better off in the TERS or PERS 1, 2, 3 or 1 and 2, or is that compared against HB 78?
Through the chair, Representative Biden, this is just based on HB 78's benefit provisions. This is not using the old defined benefit plan provisions.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, thank you very much, Mr. Frost. And next, we're going to go to Patrick Mesmer, calling in from Seward. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, I'm Patrick Mesmer. I'm a sergeant here with the Seward Police Department. I'm also on the board for SPA. I have worked as a police officer in the state for 25 years, and I've seen the effects of Tier 4 hauling out our ranks. And recruitment and retention have gotten a lot harder due to not having a pension. I've seen that. It's gotten worse every year since it passed in 06. You know, officers are staying much, much less time. You know, in the past, people retired from the department. Now, that's not the case. There's also a greater danger as a result to this lack of retention and recruitment. Those who choose to stay and serve the state are in departments with much shorter staffing than they used to have. We have less experience of the officers who remain because of the high turnover. And that puts us in a more dangerous situation on the street because there's fewer of us and we don't have as, much knowledge on what to do. And also affects the public because we can't provide as good service because of that. Alaska police officers are get assaulted five times the national average rate compared to Law 48. We also have the highest violent crime in the country in Alaska right now. We need to be better at recruiting and retaining police officers and all public employees. Smaller departments like my own have even more of a hardship because many of them, including mine, don't have an SBS or an alternative. We just have Tier 4. So, and I've looked at it with our younger officers. They don't have a way to retire. They're just going to have to keep working or go to the private sector or do something else. Private sector folks, they get Social Security, and at most places they also get a 401k, sometimes stock options. I mean, in Alaska, the public sector has much worse retirement, frankly, than the private sector. I am retiring at the end of this month with a Tier 3 pension, and I'm going to be opening a small business on teaching people how to use firearms safely and have a gun shop. I would never be able to stay in the state and open this business if I were on Tier 4 401k. I don't have any specific stats on recruitment and retention in front of me, but as anecdotally of working and serving in the state for 25 years, I can tell you Tier 4 has been devastating to law enforcement recruitment and retention. And I highly encourage you to support HB 78. I'll take questions if there's any.
Okay, thank you very much. We've got a question, Representative Tomaszewski.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Are you guys able to be in SBS?
Our city would have to opt into it, yes. Okay. Currently, we're not into it or opted in.
Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry, our city is not currently an SBS. It's not an option for us at this time. I suppose it could happen, but it would take a collective bargaining agreement change to do that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chair Foster.
Representative Bynum.
Thank you. And through the chair, again, can you remind me again what community you are representing, and then have you looked at what the potential impacts are at the local level of additional costs for conversion of a plan, and that's assuming that the state does not pick up the additional cost?
I work in Seward, Alaska at the Seward Police Department. I don't know the specific costs of what HB 78 will be compared to the current 401k as far as you mean to the community, the taxpayers, or...
Correct. What your community's capability, through the chair, your community's capability to pick up, say, for example, if this was an additional 10% cost to the your municipal government there, is that something that they'd be able to pick up, or would the state have to make the difference?
I'm not qualified to make that one. We'd have to talk to our finance department. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Looks like we have 31 people online, and we have gotten through the first 10, just to let folks know how many folks they might, if they're on the list still, to testify. And so I'm just going to name off the next five people so that folks know where, if they're coming up soon, just so they're ready. And the first one is Sarah Schneider, and then number two, Daryl Evans. Number three, Tracy Sanders. Number four, Ian Miner. And number five, Donna Phillips. So first we'll go to Sarah Snyder calling in from Anchorage. If you can state your name, affiliation, proceed with your three-minute testimony.
Hello, this is Sarah Snyder. I am representing myself, and I am calling from Anchorage. I am part of the Local 52 ASEA Union, and I work for the Department of Health. So I want to sort of address the person testifying earlier, Mr. Frost. I do think it's very important to recognize, you know, the studies that have done, the actual numbers that we're seeing. But as far as Alaska having better retention, better turnover, maybe for this state of the whole, I would also be very interested in seeing that study. But for the Department of Health, that is just not what I have seen since I started working here in 2020. We have lost huge numbers of people. I would say we are at about a third capacity. When we look at our hiring list, and you know, you just search for vacancies, it's two-thirds empty. We're being sued on multiple, you know, by the feds for how big our backlog is. And that's because of how few people we have. You know, we've heard a lot about, you know, in the papers about, you know, the reason we're so behind. A few years, they said it was a cyber attack or because of outdated equipment. It's because we're understaffed. It's because we don't have enough people, and it's because the people that we have aren't staying, and they aren't keeping that institutional knowledge. I would say about, like, four out of the five people I work with have been here, like, under 5 years. And, you know, talking about staying for a little bit, basically until you become fully vested, and then leaving to go work in the private sector and build up your retirement there. I would say that's pretty accurate based on what I see with my coworkers and what I hear when I'm talking with people. I have one coworker who just got her 30-year PIN. And she's the only one on my team. Everyone else, we've got a couple who've been here for 10 years. Everyone else is 5 years or under, like myself. And she's going to be retiring soon. She's, I think she's first three. And I think that's, you know, something that I see with a lot of people is our older people who are about to retire and are going to take all that institutional knowledge with them are the people who are peers with their three, people who can afford to stay and build up their career in one place. Everyone else, they stay for a while and then they leave. So I just want to wrap up by saying that
I do think it's very important to acknowledge facts, and that anecdotal evidence is not the same as hard research. But what I'm hearing from that study is not matching up with my experience or the experience of pretty much anyone I have talked to in my department. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Schneider. I don't see any questions, so we're going to go over to Daryl Evans, calling in from Anchorage, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Good afternoon, members of the House Finance Committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. My name is Daryl Evans. I am the president of the Anchorage Police Department Employees Association. I have been a police officer in the state of Alaska for over 30 years. I'm a Tier 2 PERS employee, and my wife is a retired teacher here in Alaska. I am here today to speak in support of HB 78. I appreciate that this committee is considering this bill. When I started in law enforcement over 30 years ago, the Anchorage Police Department had approximately 1,500 to 2,000 applicants each academy. Let me repeat that, 1,500 to 2,000 applicants for each academy. Academies consisted of approximately 30 recruits each. Now we average about 130 to 150 applicants for each academy, 130 to 150. And our academies typically range between 15 to 20 recruits if we're lucky. The APD currently has only 9 recruits in its training academy. Assuming those recruits all pass the field training process, we will have 9 new officers on the street sometime this fall. By the end of June, we will have at least 10 officers separate or retire from the department. We simply cannot keep up with attrition as it stands right now. The Anchorage Police Department currently has over 60 police officer vacancies. We have enough difficulties recruiting in law enforcement as it is. Working in law enforcement is not as popular today as it was 20 or 30 years ago. There are several reasons for this, to include pay disparities between government and private sector jobs, the added responsibilities placed on our officers to not only be keepers of the peace, but also mental health clinicians, marriage counselors, civil dispute experts, and more. While we cannot control all these factors, what we can do is provide financial security for these professional women and men as they retire from this profession, some with broken bodies and mental images of critical incidents that they will never be able to forget. HB 78 is about recruiting and retention. Under the current system, we have no means to retain our professional trained officers, which is a very expensive process. The cost of training a new officer, including the equipment and salaries of the recruit and the trainers, is well over $200,000. We are losing officers to agencies in the lower 48. With the high level of training Alaska police officers receive, outside agencies jump at the chance to hire our professional women and men. These agencies get a fully trained officer paid for by the state of Alaska. I would like to take a moment to speak about one of our sergeants who has over 13 years of experience as a police officer. He shared his personal experience as a Tier 4 PERS employee. He has a double income home, so he's lucky enough to invest money in a separate 401k and deferred comp account. He now has more money in his extra investments than he has in his 401a or tier 4 account. That means that his intended retirement benefit from the state of Alaska has become a supplemental account to his other investments. Now I want you to think about the single income police officer paying for rent or a mortgage, utilities, maybe a car payment and school loans. That officer may not have the luxury of investing extra money to make up for hers or his Tier 4 benefit. Considering the volatility we've seen in the stock market over the last couple of weeks, I am grateful to have my pension. You may hear testimony from others that will claim that the union bosses, quote unquote, have not asked their employees what they want. Well, I am one of those union bosses, and I have talked to my members. The majority that I've spoken to consistently say that they're interested in a pension. The question of a pension is not a simple yes or no that could be asked in a survey. There are many nuances to a pension bill. This requires face-to-face conversations. I hear my time is up. I would just like to say that the gentleman that spoke from the Reason Foundation, I'd like to speak real quick to that. I would like to touch on what the gentleman from the Reason Foundation had to say. First, I would be willing to bet that the gentleman does not live or work in Alaska. Regarding turnover and recruiting and retention, I don't think it's okay to accept that Alaska is on line with the rest of the country. I would argue we should not accept that. We should be looking at what we can do to surpass the rest of the country in recruiting and retention. I'll wrap up there because I know I'm out of time, but thank you very much for allowing me to testify today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Evans. We've got a question from Representative Josephson.
Just a quick comment. Good afternoon, Daryl. Your argument is very compelling to me, particularly where you started on your recruitment class. That is incredibly alarming to me. I thank you for your testimony.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Josephson, and thank you all for considering this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Evans, for your testimony. Next up, we're going to go to, we've got Tracy Sanders, then Donna Phillips, and Kathleen Yerbick. And so let's first go to Ms. Sanders calling in from Wasilla. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
This is Tracy Sanders. I'm calling today in support of House Bill 78. I'm a Tier 3 educator in the NatSU. I've co-written a book with Carl Fish informing teachers in Alaska about retirement. I teach a financial literacy course to educators. I have had numerous conversations with Tier 3 educators who do not feel comfortable investing in the stock market themselves. They want an expert to manage their funds. Many of these other professionals, teachers, will pay financial advisors, these experts, more than a 1% fee to manage their funds. Even a 1% yearly fee can be devastating to potential returns. For example, if you invested $10,000 each year for 40 years and had a 7% average annual return versus 6% because of the 1% fee, you'd be looking at the difference of $2.1 million versus $1.6 million. The $500,000 difference comes out to a 23% reduction of your total from a 1% fee compounding. There are many who have stress and fear of the stock market. We are better able to perform with and for our students without the added financial stressors of our future on our minds. I was in a meeting with Representative Sadler and one of his support staff earlier in March. The support staffer said they preferred the 401-style retirements because they were young and didn't want to be tied down. Most people in their 20s and early 30s are not thinking about retirement, and sadly, many are not planning ahead. Retirement planning wasn't on my radar until 2018 when I was in my late 30s. If you think there are many who would prefer to stay in a defined contribution plan, you could potentially give them the choice, the ability to choose in your first 5 years of employment as they do in South Carolina. If we desire lower turnover, if we want to be more attractive to candidates, if we want the best candidates to educate our children, and we want them to stay longer and make a career here, a defined benefit will support those goals. This House Bill 78 shares the risk between the state employer and the employee. Many state workers and educators would be thankful for this return to a defined benefit system. So the risk wasn't all on their shoulders as they navigate life and educating our youth. Thank you for your time and attention and efforts on figuring this out. I did want to make a little note. The first person who spoke in the room talked about that she was referring to the healthcare piece. That's not really addressed in House Bill 78. I would also like to urge you guys in the legislature to, as a separate thing, take up the ARM board, the Alaska Retirement Management Board. They recently passed two resolutions to help with healthcare for the Tier 3 PERS 4, they correct some things on there. So if you have any questions, I can take those.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Sanders. We've got a question from Representative Stout.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. See the chair to Ms. Sanders. Appreciate your testimony. Any idea what those resolutions say? I guess I could go look them up after your testimony, but I'm just curious.
Sure. The first resolution was talking about how you have to work the last 12 years before you reach Medicare age, or 12 months before you reach Medicare age, to be able to access the health care, not the HRA, but the health care. You know, if you work 10 years, then the retirement system would pay 70% of your secondary premium through Alaska Care, and then the person would have to pick up 30%. And if you had 30 years in, then the retirement would cover 90% of your secondary premium, and you would cover 10%. But to be eligible for that right now, it sounds like the Alaska statutes are written that you also have to be working in the last 12 months before you hit Medicare age. So they were trying to correct that language so that you didn't have to be 64 working in order to have a benefit. They wanted it to be like if you were eligible and then you hit 65, but you're not having to have worked that 12 months before.
Thank you.
Okay.
Resolution 2 was reducing the years for eligibility for that medical share cost share for the premium or on your secondary to, and instead of 30 years, to 25. And then there were numbers on there, and it said it would not cost more initially, and then we would bump up the contribution from the employers. I think it was part of a percent, less than half of a percent.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Sanders, for your testimony. Next up, we're going to go to Donna Phillips, calling in from Girdwood. If you can put yourself on the record.
My name's Donna. Hi, this is Donna Phillips from Girdwood, Alaska. I'm a registered nurse and recently retired from hospital nursing. I'm also a board member for the Alaska Nurses Association and the chair of our labor program. I'm calling in support of House Bill 78. I've been in the state for over 30 years and have watched public health nurses get hired and then they get laid off. It costs over $40,000 to $60,000 to train a new nurse in a hospital where you have lots of other nurses around to help you. I can only imagine what it costs the state to train public health nurses who are in the field. Mainly by themselves in isolated areas of our state. I think in order to retain people, it's a common sense resolution to the retention problem that the state of Alaska has. We, as a consumer of services here in the state, I appreciate when I go anywhere to the DMV or have questions that the people on the phone are knowledgeable about these systems and how they work. So I am in support of House Bill 78, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Donna. I just wanted to say a big hello. It's been a little while since I've seen you here down in Juneau, but somebody I've known for a long time here in the halls.
Yeah.
And do we have any questions for Ms. Phillips? I don't see it. Were you going to say something, Donna?
Thank you.
Yeah,
have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so let's see here. Next, we've got Kathleen Yerbick calling in from Wasilla. If you can please put yourself on the record.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Yerbick. I'm a teacher in Wasilla. I'm in support. I love teaching. I'm an older teacher. I served in the Navy, retired, and started a family in Alaska, so I came into teaching a little bit later in life, and I made the assumption that I would have a retirement, but I learned early on that I don't, and so I don't mind working hard, and I enjoy working hard, but it just seems like the whole finance part of managing, you know, the 401k and where to put it. And I know that, you know, there was a point last year where they said that our retirement account was being like mismanaged. And so you had to go and you had to change something. And it was just like, it was a little bizarre because it was like all of a sudden this is happening. And then we didn't get our money deposited, you know, that was a few months later. And then I took a financial class to learn more about all this stuff, and I found out that I probably shouldn't be in this annuity piece. Anyways, I just feel like, you know, I'm a hardworking teacher, but I'm not really good with finances. But I believe that, you know, we should get a decent retirement. And I've gone over and I've read and I've followed the House bill last year from Senator Diesel, and I've seen several presentations on it. And we share the burden, the employee, the employer, and the state. And I think it's a fair system that if we adopt this bill, because we're all sharing in if the stock market goes down or if the fund goes down, we share the burden. And I think that's fair. So thank you for listening, and I support. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for calling in. I don't see any questions. I'm going to name the next five people. We've had a couple people drop off, and so of the 30 people that are online, we have 15 more people, so just so folks know how long to wait. And the next five people I'm going to name are number one, Marge Stone King, number two, Lindsay Leyland, number three, Victoria Vinson, number four, Shane Serrano, and number five, Cindy Spaniers. So first, let's go to Marge Stone King. If you can state your name, your affiliation. I see you're calling in from Anchorage.
Thank you, Chair Foster and members of the Finance Committee. I'm calling as the Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska. And AARP, you may know, is the largest membership organization in Alaska and in the United States. And we are very dedicated to financial security. It will come as no surprise that people, and we are calling in support of House Bill 78. Thank you. Older Alaskans deserve to retire with independence, security, and dignity. And AARP strongly believes that all individuals have the right to be self-reliant and live with dignity in retirement. We further believe that Americans of all ages, including those in Alaska, are faced with a crisis where the goal of achieving an adequate and secure retirement is becoming increasingly difficult. And unfortunately, that's true for our public employees as well. It is not surprising that defined benefit pensions increase retirement security and therefore reduce reliance on social safety nets. In fact, according to a study by the National Institute of Retirement Security, older households without a pension are 9 times more likely to live in poverty, and that is growing by the year. Without a modest lifetime retirement benefit, more of Alaska's valued public employees may come to rely on public assistance, an environment our state doesn't want to be in. We don't want to enable that for our teachers, public safety professionals, and other public servants. Greater reliance on government subsidies increases costs for all and chips away at the ability to live with dignity and self-sufficiency in one's retirement years. Alaska's inability to offer our public employees a semblance of retirement security, the kind provided by a defined benefit pension, has also put us at a significant disadvantage as compared to other states in recruiting and retaining a qualified workforce. And that's consequently hindered our ability to provide reliable public services, which is also impacting older Alaskans in their daily lives. Retirement readiness for public employees means providing a modest pension because public employees get paid less than in the private sector. And defined benefit pension programs are the norm in public service. Alaska can't compete with other states for workers without one. A defined benefit pension plan is essential for providing retirement security to public employees and their families, and ensuring quality, reliable public services for Alaskans and strengthening Alaska's future. So AARP is happy to work with the legislature to achieve that, and we support HB 78 to do so. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Stone King. Next up, we have Lindsay Leyland out of Dillingham. If you could please put yourself on the record and begin with your testimony. Thank you.
Yes, hello. My name is Lindsay Leyland. I'm from Dillingham, Alaska, and I'm calling in support of HB 78. I'm just kind of testifying to kind of give a personal perspective on this. You know, I'm really hopeful for increased retirement security, which inevitably will increase quality teacher retention, which will lead to improved student outcomes. I'm a first-year teacher. This is my first year teaching out in Dillingham. I was born and raised here in Alaska. I grew up in Dillingham. I got my master's degree from the University of Alaska Southeast last year, and I'm choosing to live and teach in the hometown where I was raised. But unfortunately, at this time, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make financial sense for me to continue teaching past 5 years. Once I'm fully vested, there's really no major incentive for me to stick with this career because I don't have a guaranteed retirement. I don't have a guaranteed pension. And that's really difficult. And I guess I'm mostly just hoping to say that, you know, as someone who wants to work with young people and wants to support families in my community, and education is one particularly meaningful way to do that, like teaching is just going to be too difficult to stick with in the state of Alaska. It would be like I could certainly get a much more meaningful retirement package if I were to go to one of the neighboring employers in my hometown and work there to get a pretty bountiful retirement package, which we just don't offer in the state. Unfortunately, I'm seeing tremendous turnover in teachers in our state and in my community because of a lack of benefit programs like these. It's really tough to be tier three, and I know I'm one of many, but I'm just really hopeful that you all and the legislature and the governor see the value in education and see the value in retaining high quality homegrown teachers who want to work and want to be here. But if we can't afford to, we really have no choice. I think that's pretty much all I've got. I'll try to keep it short and sweet, but it's particularly challenging to be in education, as you all know. So thank you so much for hearing testimony today. And I'm very hopeful that you all make moves in the right direction, and good luck.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Victoria Vinson out of Wasilla. If you could please put yourself on the record and begin with your testimony.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Victoria Vinson. Can you all hear me okay?
We can. Please proceed.
Wonderful. I'm calling today from Wasilla, Alaska. And I'm here today representing myself as a lifetime Alaskan, but I'm also a humble public employee of the state of Alaska. I'm also a proud member of the Alaska State Employee Association, Local 52. I'm calling in today to voice my strong support for House Bill 78 and the return to a defined benefit retirement system. This change would have a direct impact on my and many others' futures. Right now in public service in the state of Alaska, it's difficult to imagine having a substantive retirement in the next 20 or 30 years. I myself am at the very beginning of my career with the state, with having 1 year under my belt as a non-permanent and then 1 year as a full-time permanent employee with retirement benefits. So I have a long road ahead of me until retirement. A defined benefit system would give me peace of mind, knowing that after a career of service, I could retire with dignity and stability. At this time, with the current retirement plan and the volatility of the market, there is no such guarantee. I love my job, and I love being a public servant in this beautiful state. And I'm a hard and dedicated worker, but if you were giving a young person at the beginning of their career advice, perhaps maybe even your own child, would you advise them to stay or to pursue a benefits package that would afford them a more comfortable and stable retirement? But this isn't about just me. It's about keeping dedicated and experienced workers in our community offices. It's also about supporting your fellow Alaskans who, through the work that they do, provide critical services. It's about addressing the current retention issues faced by the public sector statewide. Bringing back a defined benefit pension would absolutely improve retention, despite what Mr. Frost says. It would also help attract new talent and would impact not only my decision to stay in public service long-term, but many others. Please support House Bill 78. Investing in a strong retirement system is investing in a strong future for Alaska. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Shane Serrano out of Anchorage. If you could please put yourself on the record and begin with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Shane Serrano. I have to say that I've been lucky to be a state employee for more than 25 years. And, you know, the reality of it is that state employees providing service to our state and the people of the state of Alaska shouldn't have to rely on luck to have come in at a certain period of time or under a certain administration where it was favorable to have a defined benefit versus not. You know, the reality of, you know, I've worked in a section where I've seen far greater than 20% turnover. When 20% is an average, you know, some sections have 30-40% turnover, and a lot of times those are some of the most critical and challenging jobs that, you know, after a few years of investment in that person, they can very quickly and easily find other jobs in the private sector. And if there's nothing, if there's no incentive within that 5-year window, you know, basically you have a 5-year ejection seat where without a defined benefit, you literally have your excessively incentivized to leave the state, which, you know, basically what you're forcing without a defined benefit is capital flight from the invested budget that you put into these state sections and these, you know, I do law enforcement for the state of Alaska, and while it's under the side of the environment, you know, the public health from the environment, you know, suffers from having these very, very technical jobs that it takes 3 to 5 years to even become effective at doing to lose that, you know, to lose that talent. You know, the bottom line is, you know, from the way that things look, if you pencil things out, the defined benefit doesn't really cost much more than the loss of the retention of the people. And if you were to, you know, if you were a gambling person and, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to make a bet, but the win on the backside with, you know, healthy communities, better services, and all of the upside from having, you know, the retention of qualified and content people is, it's a whole lot better off than just, you know, the luck of watching the capital of what you guys have invested into these departments walk down to Washington, Oregon. You know, you're almost intentionally subsidizing other states by doing that and losing great people that you know, could very well happily be here for decades to come. So obviously I'm in support of HB 78, and, you know, while it will not benefit me in any way, shape, or form to see, you know, the people that I've trained walk out the door into industry in other states, you know, it's just, it's sad to see some of the best people I've trained, you know, be lost elsewhere. And if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay, I don't see any questions, so thank you very much, Mr. Serrano, for your testimony. Looks like we've got, I believe, 10 more people online, and the next three are Cindy Spaniers, Ken Huckabee, and Justin Lacoste. So we'll go to Cindy Spaniers, if you can put yourself on the record.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Foster and members of the committee. My name is Cindy Spaniers. I'm calling from Juneau, Alaska. Thank you for hearing this bill, and thanks for hearing my testimony in support of House Bill 78. As a defined benefit retiree, I am immensely appreciative of those Alaskans before me who ensured that I would have a secure retirement after years working in the state. Now, I believe we have an obligation to ensure that today's public servants also have a secure retirement. After working in the public sector, I worked for a public employee labor union, which represented members across the state in school districts, municipalities, and for the state. My work put me in touch with countless public employees hired after 2006 who were dismayed to find that they would have very little to look forward to after retiring. new employees found their accounts difficult to read and that financial growth was slow. Recruitment issues appeared early on, as evidenced by reports from newly elected Governor Palin's transition team. Today, recruitment and retention has become almost a crisis, as shown by the vacancy factors, as well as the statistics on the out-migration of younger Alaskans, including my 27-year-old son. While my modest pension allows me some peace of mind, there are always uncertainties regarding the possibility of having our savings drained. Today's stock market plunge adds to those uncertainties and to those fears, especially for those who have a defined contribution retirement plan. The markets also dropped substantially, dramatically, in 2008 and 2009, causing both the PERS and TERS defined benefit plans and the defined contribution plans to lose significant sums. However, the DC plans lost far more and did not recover as fast compared to the DB accounts managed by the ARM board. Today also happens to be April 4th, the day that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, where he was supporting the city sanitation workers. It's time to reflect on words that he spoke in a much earlier speech, where Dr. King said, "The labor movement was the principal force that transformed misery and despair into hope and progress. Out of its bold struggles, economic and social reform gave birth to a number of things, including old age pensions." Now, my fellow retirees and myself don't really consider ourselves in the category of old age, but our defined benefit pensions do help provide economic stability for us and for the state of Alaska. Our pensions provide jobs in the retail, health, and hospitality sectors. We volunteer in our communities, and we make charitable contributions. We enjoy retirement, and we believe that the next generation, the current public sector employees, also deserve a secure retirement. Thank you. Thank you, members of the committee, for hearing House Bill 78.
Thank you very much, Ms. Spaniers. I don't see any questions of the committee. Next up, we have Ken Huckabee calling in from Wasilla. If you can state your name and your affiliation. Mr. Huckabee, are you there?
Yes. I had to find the mute button. Sorry, I didn't want to crash you guys the dogs. thank you. This is Ken Huckabee. I'm unaffiliated. And I appreciate your time to testify. Firstly, as many people pointed out, the market is in a free fall today, right now. I mean, you guys have been busy. You haven't seen it. Crude oil is approaching $60 a barrel. All of the, at this moment, this effectively stops this conversation entirely. It's $6 trillion wiped out from the economy today. You can't even talk about this reasonably. It needs to be tabled until you can. When the state was awash in money, this was not unaffordable. Now it is incredibly unaffordable. You are asking all Alaskans to be indentured servants for the forced benefit of others, and for benefits that they could themselves could never dream or hope to obtain. If this is passed, please consider an amendment to make benefits calculated on their base pay, for example, for obvious reasons, for retention, because when they calculate out, they leave. And then we're paying for four or five people in Arizona that aren't even working anymore. Also, please consider extending the service requirements for the same reason. Lastly, it's an embarrassing for the educators to refer to themselves as public servants. That's not the definition of what these folks are. They're public employees. It's a provocative pablum they're using to tug at heartstrings. It's unreasonable. So, and I say, lastly, this really smacks of quid pro quo. We looked at the APOC statements of some of the people involved, the sponsors, and some people that are promoting this, and they get you get contributions for this. We understand what we're trying to do here, and we appreciate our employees, but they're not servants. But we also need to look at what is it that we have to be responsible for when we talk about economics. And what we're doing is setting ourselves up for more problems down the future on the same thing as the reason they originally stopped the defined benefits. And right now, the future looks like we don't have
the means to do this at all. And if we do get something, say that we have a GDP, and I'm talking about private sector GDP to pay for this, maybe we could pick this up again. It would be reasonable to get extravagant if we can afford extravagance. And, you know, lastly, as a private sector worker, you know who else can't afford to stay in the state? That's private sector employees. They're fleeing. We lost 40,000 people last year. They're not all teachers running away because they don't get defined benefits. These are people who can't afford housing. They can't afford anything, so they leave. And so now you're leaving with less people to pay for this. And you're talking now. I hear it in the halls of the legislature there. They've taken the PFD, and now they're talking about income and sales taxes. This was envy when I saw people younger than me and all my friends retiring and going away. And they worked out the last 3 years and making the most money they can and retiring, making more money they were working. And you're still here working to pay for that. That's envy when we have a lot of money coming from the oil sector to do so. When you're talking about taxing us to do so, that's indentured servitude, my friends. And I sure appreciate your consideration and my hearty, please listen to me, opposition to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huckabee, for calling in. I don't see any questions of the committee. And so next we'll go to actually, I'll name the next five here. I think we've got eight, maybe nine more people online. Justin Lacoste, and then Julia Inga, third, Willie Keppel, fourth, Ken Griffin, and fifth, Katie Johnson. So, Justin Lacoste, if you can state your name, your affiliation. I see you're calling in from Palmer.
Hello, good afternoon, Co-Chair Foster and members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Justin Lacoste. I am serving as the president of the Mattsu Education Association. I'm testifying today in strong support of transitioning to a shared risk retirement plan for Alaska's public employees, particularly the well-designed model incorporating defined benefit elements as seen in HB 78. Alaska is facing a significant staffing crisis, and I recognize that that is across the state. However, in essential sectors like education and public safety, primarily driven by high employee turnover and recruitment challenges, that's where I come in and why I hope you can hear this address. Addressing this turnover is paramount for continuity and quality of vital services to Alaskans that they depend on. Evidence strongly suggests that reinstating a modest defined benefit component with a shared risk framework is crucial to mitigating this crisis. Research consistently demonstrates that the defined benefit plans significantly reduce employee turnover, fostering a more stable and experienced workforce. Furthermore, defined benefit plans offer great financial efficiency for the state with a higher return on investment compared to current defined contribution structures. While acknowledging initial transition costs, these are carefully weighed against the substantial sustained benefits. Conservative estimates presented to the Senate Finance indicate potential annual cost savings of at least $76 million simply from reduced turnover. This incomplete figure doesn't account for direct employee contribution savings or the significant indirect economic benefits of improved public services attracting investment and fostering development. The immeasurable gains in the quality of teaching and public safety from a more experienced workforce are also critical. In conclusion, the costs of establishing a shared risk plan with defined benefit characteristics are outweighed by the compelling evidence of its benefits. Such a plan offers a tangible solution to our staffing shortages, promises long-term financial advantages, and most importantly, paves the way for higher quality public services, making Alaska a more attractive place to live and invest. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lacoste, for your testimony. Next up, we're going to go to Julia Inga, calling in from Palmer, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hi, I'm Julia Inga from Palmer. I'm just an Alaskan that's concerned that we can't afford this. It's a lot of money, and we can't afford it. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Willie Keppel calling in from Quinnahawk. If you can state your name, your affiliation.
Yes, good afternoon. My name's Willie Keppel. I live in Quinnahawk, 450 miles due west of Anchorage on the coast of the Bering Sea, and I really appreciate this opportunity to talk. But number one, I do not support House Bill 78, and here's why. Yesterday, the House released a $1.9 billion deficit budget without a single clue as how to fund it. Some of us have a clue. because it's apparent that the supporters of House Bill 78 expect you to take the only available funding from the poorest people to pay for their golden parachute retirement, RPFD, the last unencumbered funds left. There's no need to cry alligator tears about losing bucks in your 401 when the state permanent fund corpus and every non-union member of the 401 in the state of Alaska lost the same exact amount of funds on Wall Street. I suggest pay the full PFD. That's the regular folks' retirement fund. And we outnumber the union members by over 650,000 people in Alaska. I'd like to remind everyone that this program is still on the whole $7 billion of unfunded liabilities from the last time around. You know, what I do support is an increase in defined contributions. We pay it monthly, and the state doesn't have to look over its shoulders at the stock market for the next 40 years on today's payout. I support putting all employees back into Social Security. Should have never gone away in the first place. You know, everyone's having a hard time retiring, but the state owes equal consideration to the private sector employees. It's not just about union employees. It's about equal treatment for Alaska's greatest numbers. So pay the full PFD, and all 730,000 Alaskans will get through life together. And that's what I have to say. You need to tell us where you're going to come up with the funding. And that's what no union member so far has even suggested. So let's get to the real root of the cost and start talking who's the money going to come from that is going to hurt their programs. You know, let's get down to bones here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keppel. I don't see any questions. So next we're going to go over to Ken Griffin calling in from Wasilla. Mr. Griffin, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Yep, my name is Ken Griffin. I live in Wasilla. I am the original stakeholder. I have no affiliation, just a taxpayer out here. Look, unfunded liabilities on the federal side is $260-plus trillion in the hole, and that's what this state's acting like. As the gentleman said before, you don't have the money. It's hard not to be very angry and frustrated about this because this is a total moral hazard. That's what this is, complete irresponsibility with the people's money. The other Ken brought up a great point. He said that it's not just state workers that are fleeing. This state is about equal opportunity. It's not the government's job to maintain somebody else's retirement. Margaret Thatcher said, if you want the state to do everything for you, it will soon take everything from you. This state has no mandate to take care of retirement from other people. I know plenty of police officers, teachers, and firefighters that are doing extremely well with their own retirements on their own. Okay, that's their job. Their retirement is their responsibility and their responsibility alone. But I can tell you the main reason that people are leaving isn't because you're not throwing enough of other people's money at them. The main reason they're leaving is for the last 60-plus years, with all that money coming in, you guys have built government. Not a robust private sector. And government does not provide a return. It's not affordable to live here. And it hasn't been for some time. And you passing this bill is only going to deepen the problem. It's not going to make it any better. Listen, I know you guys know this because I'm listening every day to every Senate House Finance Committee, every Energy Resource Committee. You all know what I know. The state's completely broke. The fact that you guys even call federal dollars revenue and savings revenue is an economic joke. I spent a ton of time talking to other economists about the state that have master's degrees that say you guys are insane. None of them have said, oh, yeah, Alaska's doing very, very well. Very smart moves they're making. None of them. And they have master's degrees. Okay, this is outrageous. And it's, again, complete moral hazard. Stop growing government. I know you guys are acting more right now like a sovereign corporation than an actual state, or maybe more of a federal enclave. You're not looking out for your citizens. It is not equality
for you guys to be out there trying to take people's money and give it to state workers. They knew the deal they were getting before they got into the job. So why are they acting like this is an atrocious? You chose it because you chose to stay because you knew what the retirement was before you took the deal. Right? They knew that. But now they're acting like this is some big atrocious thing that they had no idea they were getting screwed. That's total ridiculousness. Okay? It's absolutely out of control. So, you know, if you want people to stop fleeing this state, you have to make it affordable. And the only way for you to do that is to build a robust private sector economy that provides not only for a return to the state, but a genuine GDP and velocity of money moving around the state. That's the only way. And if you continue down this path, you will completely sink this state back into federal hands. Stop acting like a federal enclave. Start acting like a Republican, conservative state as the Statehood Act says it should be governed. Every time there's a choice, every time, we always choose federal dollars, more state programs. None. You guys know that this is broken at the foundation. And even if you started today, with total responsible behavior, it would take 15 plus years to fix this state financially. I'm asking you, as a citizen of this state, before I flee, someone who contributes, who owns a company, who pays and volunteers in this community, and pays attention to all these committees, I'm asking you, choose capitalism, choose conservatism, choose republicanism. Stop choosing statism and federal dollars. Stop it. Stop growing government, please. Please, you cannot afford it, and you know it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. I don't see any questions from the committee, so we'll next go to Katie Johnson, calling in from Kenai. If you can state your name, your affiliation, Ms. Johnson.
All right. My name is Katie Johnson, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I'm here to testify against House Bill 78, a bill that would let public employees and teachers choose between defined benefits and a defined contribution retirement plan. I believe this proposal threatens Alaska's financial stability, and here's why. Alaska is in a budget crisis. We face a projected shortfall of $650 million over the next 2 years because spending has outpaced revenue since 2012. Our school districts, like Juneau, are in basically are grappling with deficit exceeding 10% of their budgets due to fraught state funding, declining enrollments, and loss of federal relief. This is no time to add more financial risk. House Bill 78 would receive defined benefit plans defined benefit plans, which promise fixed payouts no matter how investments perform. If those investments tank, taxpayers get the bill. That's a gamble we can't take. 16 years ago, Alaska switched to a 401k style system to avoid these dangers. It caps the state's costs while giving employees flexibility. House Bill 78 undermines that stability. Since Alaska's public workers don't get Social Security, we need a retirement system that's dependable, not one that could spiral out of control and drain the state's funds. I get the goal, better recruitment and retention. But the cost of defined benefits could force cuts to vital services like schools, public safety, just to pay pensions. That's a trade-off we can't afford. We should focus on a solution that bolsters our fiscal health and address workforce needs without unpredictable burdens. For these reasons, I urge you to reject House Bill 78. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I don't see any questions of the committee. And so the last four people I have on the list, I've got Louis Thies, Jackie Goal, Amanda Gershon, and Seth Nielsen. So first we'll go to Louis Thies, calling in from Girdwood. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Sure. Louis Thies, I'm testifying for myself. I live in Girdwood. I've been there since 1979. I'm calling in to support HB 78. As a senior, I worry about adequate police protection. I worry about the availability of public health care, state road safety, the availability of teachers and state office workers. I know that Alaska is the only state without a defined benefit pension plan for state employees. I'd like to give you a little example of the unintended consequences that did occur in 2015 when trooper stations were shuttered due to personnel and budgetary shortages. There weren't enough there. I think at the time, Governor Walker said there was around 300 state troopers that shared the whole, to watch over the whole state at the time because they couldn't get any. When the Girdwood Trooper Station closed in May 2015, Girdwood voted to hire the Whittier police from next door, and the price for that, paid for by property taxpayers in Girdwood, was the price of a small income tax. As a property taxpayer, I didn't mind supporting them, but we're missing the economics of scale and the comprehensive services that the troopers can provide. And of course, as first responders, they end up spending a lot of time out patrolling the state highways and the state roads. So I say let's pass HB 78 and be able to be competitive in the labor market. And like we were prior to 2005, and grow our state. I think one of the things that we're missing in this testimony is that without these state services, we're going to be unable to grow our state economically, and that's where the money that everyone says might be missing is going to come from. And you've got to have state services to do it, and you have to have services that attract people here. And I think defined benefit pension programs for state employees is one of the things that young people look for the most. So thank you for taking my testimony, and thanks for being down there in Juneau and listening to us. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thies. I don't see any questions of the committee, and so we'll go over to Jackie Goal, calling in from Juneau. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hi. Yes, my name is Jackie Goal. I'm calling in for myself, but I do work for the Office of Children's Services. I've worked for the state for 13 years, all with OCS. I'm calling in support of the SB 76 or 78. And just to kind of tell a little bit of my personal story, I moved here in 2007 to volunteer with AmeriCorps, served for 3 years, worked in nonprofits, and then landed with the state. I've enjoyed my time with the state and consistently been able to move up. But due to when I was hired, I am, tier 4, so I do not have a defined benefit. What has kept me in the state is the fact that I married a person who has a defined benefit program, and we're staying specifically because of his pension. That's what's keeping us here. I have seen almost every advancement I've had in my career has been because of somebody leaving the state because they don't have anything holding them here. I can take my 401k. And when my husband retires, economically, that'll probably be the best decision for us, is for me to take my 401k. And at that point, 20-some years of experience with the state, and leave, because it is expensive here. But if I had that defined benefit, I would be staying until my full term. And I see this play out over and over again with state employees. I also do just have to comment. I have listened to most of these proceedings, and thank you for, sitting through all of this. And even among some of the folks who
we're trying to dissuade or we're not calling in support. One acknowledged that the direct benefit or the this program would most benefit people who stay with the state for over 20, 25 years. And those are the workers that I would think we are all hoping to have. And then the other gentleman who was very upset quite blatantly said they knew they're getting screwed. So even the folks who are calling in to not be supportive are still painting a picture of why this is actually needed. So I would just like to say thank you, and I hope you guys can see through and get this passed.
Thank you, Ms. Gohl, for your testimony. Next, we're going to jump over to Amanda Gershon, calling from Wasilla. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Amanda Gershon, and I'm just speaking for myself, but I work for the Mattoon School District. And I'm calling to say that I oppose this bill. I've been here since 1978, went to school here, graduated high school here, went to college here, ran two businesses here, and now I work a part-time job at the Mattoon School District. I'm thinking that maybe some people don't remember their history. We used to have a pension here. It was ended in 2006. Why? Because we couldn't afford it, and clearly we can't afford it now. Let's see. I went to GROC to discuss, excuse my voice, I'm a little sick today, went to GROC to get more details on that history, and it looks like the employees in the system were paying about 6.75% into the system, and then they ended up having to pay 20 to 25% in PERS, and then up to over 30% in TRS, because we couldn't afford to keep it funded. So I'm wondering why we're doing this when we can't afford to fund it to begin with, and then history has shown us we couldn't afford to keep it funded, and so it was closed down. I don't know if the details of your bill address this, but considering the budget these days, I don't think it's going to work. I think you need to have a good economy in order to have the good services that go with it. We don't have that right now. As Senator Sullivan has continuously pointed out the last several years, Biden's EOs shut down so much of our economy, so we didn't have much revenue coming in. And I also blame previous leaders in the state that kept all our eggs in one basket. We need to diversify our economy. We need to incentivize businesses to come here. I'm looking forward to, I don't know, maybe data centers or something, if we could get our energy grid up to par. Right now we're looking at a gas crisis, for crying out loud. And if you take the PFD away, then we're looking at a 25% increase in welfare, and that's going to be even more expensive. So I think we've got to quit throwing money places and start prioritizing our needs over our wants. If you can do that, then I might start trusting the state of Alaska to actually do what needs to be done. I mean, we've had to deal with these horrendous budgets in our own households, and I'm just stunned that the state of Alaska hasn't gotten a grip on reality yet. I'm not trying to insult you all. I'm just venting my frustration, and I really hope that we can get some common sense going here and start getting some real business revenue in here. I love my job. I love my school district. I think we do a great job with very little. And I think, well, I also love the police. But I think that you could retain more teachers, more police, without pensions. You could just give them other benefits, pay them better, treat them better, appreciate them. There's other things we could do. We don't need to be throwing our money at a pension system when people could use the 401Ks just like everyone else does. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Gershon, for calling in. I don't see any questions, so we'll go to our last caller, and that is Seth Nielsen calling in from Anchorage, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hello, my name is Seth Nielsen. I am from Palmer, Alaska, and I'm calling in on behalf of myself as well as others in my family and coworkers who work in state government and for teaching throughout the state. I've been a lifelong Alaskan. I was born in Alaska, and I was born and raised here. Grew up on a homestead initially, and I consider myself a conservative. I am in favor of HB 78. What I've seen is an immense amount of turnover, like others have talked about, that is seemingly unsustainable in terms of keeping quality employees. I see it in my own work as a state employee, and I've seen it with others who are within my family working in various types of teaching and government services, police force, etc. What happens is you have young people come in, they get a job, they work for a couple of years, and they get skills, and then they move on to a better paying job with other types of benefits at a different employer in the private sector, and take those skills with them. We're losing a lot of good employees to other states as well because of the same reasons. I do understand the budgetary concerns. That's definitely within my my mindset as well. Obviously, I think that we need new ways of generating revenue in this state. That's important. We botched the LNG pipeline deal years ago. We could have had BP pay for it. I know the chief negotiator for that pipeline deal from BP, and I know the details. And it's stuff that we should have fixed a long time ago. We need to fix it. I don't think that we should use the PFD for government, but people also want to have their cake and eat it too, which isn't realistic. So, yes, we do need to fix the budget, but at the same time, we need to retain good employees in the state government, and we're not doing that. So I'm in favor of HB 78, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Seth, did you say your last name is Nielsen?
Say that one more time.
Oh, is your last name Nielsen, spelled with an N?
Nielsen, yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great.
Yes, Nielsen.
Just want to make sure we've got the record straight. Thank you very much. I don't see any questions at the committee. So with that, appreciate your testimony. Thank you. So for anyone who might be watching and would like to submit written testimony, they can do so by sending us an email at house.finance@akleg.gov. One more time, that's house.finance@akleg.gov. Just to let folks know what we've got scheduled for Monday, our next meeting will be on at 1:30 on Monday, April 7th, and at that meeting we're going to take up three bills. The first bill is House Bill 48, that's Civil Legal Services Fund. We've heard that bill twice now, so this will be the third hearing. The next bill we're hearing is Disabled Veterans Retirement Benefits, and that's House Bill 17, and we've heard that bill twice, so this will be the third hearing. The third bill we're taking up is House Bill 27, which is Medical Major Emergencies, and that will be the first hearing. I'm not sure what the plan is for House, the floor, and if it looks like maybe later in the week we're taking up amendments, then that could alter our schedule here in House Finance. We're shifting over now that the operating budget has left House Finance. We're shifting over to focusing on bills now. So we'll be focusing on bills next week. But we may need to change things up a little bit if we have to accommodate the floor. So just keep that in mind. So do we have any questions? Seeing none, thank you so very much to all the folks who called in to testify on this bill before us today. And we are going to go ahead and adjourn at 3:51 p.m.